In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Congratulations, first of all, on the feast day of Philopater Mercurius, as many of us have him as our intercessor, and we know him as the saint with the two swords. Congratulations also, today is the last Sunday before we enter into the next Coptic month of Kiyak. So today is the fourth Sunday of the Coptic month of Hatur. And as you know, the month of Kiyak is filled with spiritual revival, vigils, the well-known 7x4 praise that we sing on the eve before Sunday. So we have a festive time ahead of us, and we are in the Advent feast as Moses fasted for 40 days to receive the written word of God. We are fasting for 40 days to receive the incarnate word of God himself on Christmas Day, God willing. We're just going to take 3 points from today's scripture reading. And before we do that, just to situate ourselves, today's reading was from St. Mark's, the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10. And those of us who know St. Mark's Gospel is filled with event after event. So we're encouraged all to maybe go home and read the entire chapter of Mark, chapter 10, and we'll see where this reading comes in. And you'll notice that just before the Gospel reading of today was a wonderful few verses where Jesus blesses the little children. And when the disciples try to push the children away, he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." So if we read the rest of Mark chapter 10, we will read those verses just before the gospel reading that was just read to us. I'm just going to read a few verses again from today's gospel reading. "Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good?'" And we'll come back to this point. "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Then the Lord said to him, "You know the commandments," and we'll focus on this point as well. The Lord said, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack." And we'll focus on this as well. The one thing you lack: "Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." We'll stop there, but you know the rest of the reading. Glory be to God forever. Amen. So we want to focus today on 3 points that the Lord said. The first being, "Why do you call me good?" The second is, "You know the commandments." And the third is, "One thing you lack." Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. The Lord is a good teacher, and a good teacher engages with his students, sometimes on a one-to-one basis, as he did with the rich young ruler. Why? To elevate our thoughts and broaden and deepen our understanding. Here, the rich young ruler asked an important question, and the Lord doesn't jump just to give him the answer. The good teacher wants us to understand deeply and understand the context. So the Lord asks him an important question: "Why do you call me good?" And this reminds us of when the Lord asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Is he a good teacher? Yes. Is he a prophet? Yes. But he is not only a good teacher, not only a just man, not only the greatest of prophets. No, he is much more than that. And he wants the young ruler and all of us to recognize him for who he is. It is not enough to say he is a good teacher or a good master. Yes, he is a good teacher and a good master and a good shepherd and a true physician and a true savior, but he is the one and only incarnate Son of God. And we know God the Father is good and the source of all goodness. And of course, as the Father is good, so is his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, good, and the Holy Spirit good. So when we say the Lord is good, Jesus Christ is good, it's not like when we say to one another, to our children, for example, when they do something good, we say, good boy or good girl. Of course, we encourage our children and say they're good. But there's only one who is truly good, perfectly good, complete in his goodness, and the source of all goodness. And when we are good, it is because we are coming to him, and his goodness is reflecting on us. In the liturgy of St. Gregory that we use typically on feast days and once in a while during the regular season, we address God the Father and we say, you, O my Master, have turned for me the punishment into salvation. As a good shepherd, you have sought after that which has gone astray. As a true father, you have labored with me, I who had fallen. And then the next part we could in our mind say, as a true physician, you have bound me with all the remedies that lead to life. The next part we could say, as a true savior, you are he who ministered salvation to me when I disobeyed your law. As a true light, you have shone upon those who were lost and the prodigal. Our Lord is a good teacher, good master, good shepherd, good father, good physician, good and the only true savior. So when we say about human beings that we are good, again, we're just reflecting his goodness. But he is the only true goodness, because he is perfect in his goodness at all times, in all places. And we receive our goodness from him. Why do you call me good? Is it because you are truly acknowledging that I am the only true Lord or God and God? Or are you saying it as if you're complimenting me, as if you're doing me a favor? The Lord doesn't need my compliments. The Lord Jesus says, I am good not because of what you say of me, but because it is my nature to be good. And now the Lord asks me, why do you call me good? Is it because you need me to gain treasure in this world? Or is it because you need me as the only way to gain the true treasure in the world to come? Is it because you need me to help you to pass your exam, succeed in your projects, find a life mate and get married, buy a house, buy a car, have children, etc.? Of course, the Lord will not leave us without food or drink or clothing or companions. He will give us all these things. But why are we calling him good? Or is it because we know that he is the true and only one who says, I am the one who loves you. I am the one full of goodness. I care for you. And I am here to lead you as a true shepherd leads his sheep and gives his life for his sheep. He says, I am here to heal you as the true physician of our souls, bodies, and spirit. I am here to save you as the only Savior who gives his life-giving body and blood to give me life. And then he also asked me, do you want to be good like me? Of course. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want to learn goodness from me? Then take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. The Lord says it is not enough to know that I am good. You have a role to play. You also need to be good. How, Lord? I may find it difficult. So the Lord says, no, my beloved. I have done the difficult part. I have given you what you can handle, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this leads us to the next point, the Lord said, you know the commandments. By first asking, why do you call me good? The Lord wants to emphasize and deepen our faith in him as God. But now comes my part. I have faith in him, and if I have true, deep faith that he is God, faith needs to be reflected in my actions. And you perhaps know that some faiths believe that it is just enough to have faith. And some say, we believe we're saved. But no, faith without works is dead. Faith without good deeds is dead, as a body without the spirit is dead, as St. James told us. And when the young ruler asked the Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord didn't just say to him, just have faith and you will be saved. In addition to the faith, the Lord drew the young man's attention to the commandments. You know the commandments. Of course, many of us know the commandments. And even before the Ten Commandments were handed to the children of Israel, humanity knew the Lord's commandments. God had programmed in us what's called the natural law, so we can distinguish right from wrong. And then as humanity progressed, God gave us the written law of Moses and the Ten Commandments on the two tablets of stone. And as we said, Moses spent 40 days fasting in order to receive the word of God on the tablets. We are now fasting 40 days in order to receive the living incarnate word of God in the flesh. And we are in the New Testament. We don't just have the natural law. We don't just have the natural law and the law of Moses. We also have the law of Christ that he taught us himself directly. And he said, I did not come to destroy the law of Moses, but to fulfill it. And he gave us a deeper, richer, broader application of the law through his teachings. And this is what we can call the law of Christ or the Christian law. For example, on murder, the law of Moses said, of course, you shall not murder. And the law of Christ says, you shall not murder, but it's much broader than physical murder. The law of Christ reminds us that murder begins in my heart, so I need to stop any seeds of murder or hatred before they get worse. Christ says, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment. Whoever says, you fool, is in danger of hellfire. Really? If I say to someone, you're foolish, I'm in danger of going to hell, this is very serious. Because we're now in the era of grace. The Lord has given us the Holy Spirit as a comforter. The more we're given, the more that is expected of us. In the Old Testament, perhaps we have an excuse. We can say our hearts are hardened. But now we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Lord's body and blood, we have no excuse. If our hearts are hardened, we can come to him and say, create in me a new heart. And that's why it is fitting that more is expected of us now, not just the literal interpretation of the law, but a much more deeper. I may murder my brother and sister by just saying a mean word to them. I may cut down their reputation by making fun of them behind their backs. I am killing them in this way, whether I'm killing them physically or not. We have a deeper requirement to apply the Lord's commandments. On adultery, the law of Moses says you shall not commit adultery. The law of Christ says, get rid of any seeds of adultery from your heart. Whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery within her heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. Why, Lord? For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Similarly, if my hand or foot causes me to sin, cut it off and cast it away so that I could enter heaven, as opposed to my whole body perishing in hell. In the Old Testament, out of the hardness of the people's heart, Moses permitted divorce. But Christ says, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except for sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery. Whether in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the Lord's commandments are the same. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The rich young man wanted to enter eternal life, and I think we all want to enter eternal life. I want to enter eternal life. I am not satisfied with this temporary life, however short or long it may be. I'm not satisfied with the passing pleasures of this earthly life. And I'm sure there's a better life to come, as the Lord promised, with no sorrow, no grief, no fear, no pain, no suffering. I have faith in the Lord that He has gone to prepare a place for us, and I believe that He will come back and take us with Him, that where He is, we may be also. So we all want to be saved. We all want eternal life. We all know the commandments. The first step was faith in God, acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The second step is to listen to His commandments and to reflect them in our actions, to have works that are fitting and aligned with the Word of God. You know the commandments, and knowing them is good. Do you keep the commandments? Do you obey the Lord your God? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind? Do you love your neighbor as yourself? The young, rich ruler loved his possessions more than God. He couldn't say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart. And this leads us to the last point, one thing you lack. First of all, this is a fact, and I hope no one is offended today if I say that none of us is perfect, so we are all lacking in perfection. So when the Lord addresses me and says, one thing you lack, it's out of His mercy, because He could have more properly said it plainly, a million things you lack. But the Lord is full of encouragement, and as you saw, when He said to the rich young man, you know the commandments, He focused on the six commandments that deal with human relationships. He didn't put him on the spot right away and say, I don't think you love the Lord your God and have no other gods before Him. The Lord is encouraging and says, there's one thing you lack. He says to me, do you want to inherit eternal life? Yes? Okay, there's one thing you lack. And for each of us, this one thing may be different. And of course, as we progress throughout our life and in spiritual maturity, in continual repentance, the one thing we lack differs. As we get closer and closer to the light of the Lord, we can see more clearly exposed those things that we lack that we need to work on with His grace. The one thing I lack may be purity. The one thing I lack may be love for others. The one thing I lack may be the ability to ask for others' forgiveness when I hurt them. The one thing I lack may be to forgive others. The one thing I lack may be, like with the rich young ruler, my dependency on earthly riches. To the rich young man, the Lord saw clearly that his love of money or possessions was preventing him from inheriting the true riches. And this is perhaps ironic. He loved temporary wealth so much that he was in danger of losing eternally the wealth that would last forever. To the young man, the Lord says, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And just so that we'll just take a side point, just so that we don't think there are no rich people in heaven. Of course, heaven is full of rich and poor, and unfortunately, the other place also is filled with rich and poor. It depends on what you do with your riches. Do you trust your riches and treat them as your God, or do you use your riches to worship the true God? And we have many examples throughout history in the Old and New Testament and in modern times. The author of the gospel we just read, St. Mark, his family is known to have been wealthy. St. Mark the apostle was a rich young man. St. Anthony was rich and gave up all his riches. Many of the martyrs, including today's martyr, Philopater Mercurius, were very rich and notable and had possessions or influence in society. So there are many rich men and women, whether Abraham and Lot, whether the Shunammite woman who built a house for Elisha the prophet. Many who are rich use their riches wisely, but it is difficult sometimes because riches, the glory temporarily of the riches can distract us from our true goal. Go your way, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. So the Lord also asked me, do I have something I can give to the poor? If we have been blessed with earthly riches, we can give of our money. If we have been blessed with the gift of time, we can share our time with others. If we have been blessed with good health or physical strength, we can use our energy to do good. If we have been blessed with a good education, we can use what we learn to do good. If you've been blessed with a good heart, you can share your love with others in need. And since we all are blessed with a caring God, we also are asked to care for one another. Since we all have been blessed with a loving God, we are asked to love and pray for one another. And since we are all blessed with a forgiving God, we are asked to love and forgive each other. We are asked to give richly of our effort, our time, resources, our smiles, patience, and understanding, for God loves a cheerful giver. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
We believe in one God, God the Father,
the creator of heaven and earth, and all things seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of life, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of the essence of the Father, from all things were made,
who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit
and of the Virgin Mary, and became man. And he was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead according to the Scriptures. Ascended to heaven, sits
at the right hand of his Father, he is coming again as Lord to judge the living and the dead.
His kingdom shall have no end. Yes, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the life giver, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son, who is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets, in one holy Catholic Apostolic Church. We confess one baptism for remission of sins.
We look for the resurrection.
И
перправки сосите.
Ирини паси.
Кетомне.